No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more.
We're continuing our discussion of How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. This is a handbook for getting along with people because most of us are never taught how to get along with other people as children, and rarely do we have it modeled for us. My parents didn't overtly shout and argue with each other. My dad did. My mom just sort of crumpled. But when they actually talked and worked things out, they would always go behind closed doors. So my brothers and I never saw how to work things out. I saw my mom and dad being overly nice to people that they met, but at the same time, as soon as those people were out of earshot, saying negative and critical things, can you believe that person, etc. So I did not have it modeled for me, and I'm presuming that you did not either. And as a result, we go out unprepared into life to work with other people. Dale Carnegie did not sit down and say, I'm going to write a huge, enormous, best-selling book. I'll tell you, though, that when you ask people who are successful if they're into personal development books, it's usually Think and Grow Rich, number one, and How to Win Friends and Influence People, number two. How to Win Friends and Influence People is a guidebook or a roadmap to understanding how people like to be treated. And one of the things that most of us struggle with, and I'll tell you a story that I remember that Wayne Dyer talked about. He said that he was waiting to get out of a parking lot in a parking garage. I would imagine it was here in Miami because he used to live here before he moved to Hawaii. And there was a problem with the parking gate, and the man could have made it just go up, but there was an issue with charging and syncing that with the gate. And someone simply said, look, we're going to come pull the gate up. And the guy like jumped in front of the cars. Now, Dyer's point, I don't know if I 100% agree with it, was that the young man was wrong. I do think there's a better way to handle it. You know, nowadays you just shoot pictures of their license plates or something and let everybody go. But his point is that this person was willing to fight for die for what he thought was right. And it was such a small thing. Dr. Gerald Jampolsky, this is the one quote of his that I remember all the time, and we know this quote, and that is, do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? Now, notice that those are on the opposite side of the word or. When you're creating a flow chart and you get to an or, the choices are this or this. It is never this and this. Now, you can have an and or. However, it's rare. The point Jampolsky is making is that our attachment to being right limits us from being happy. Even in our rightest moments, in our moments of thinking that we are absolutely certain, if we are willing to entertain uncertainty, then we open ourselves to new possibilities. We open ourselves to connections with other people. And that's the main thing. Being right existentially threatens our life. It's so complex, but being right is tied up into our social status, our status within our own minds, our self-worth, our capacity. I was watching The Big Bang Theory the other day, and Leonard was trying to accomplish something, or had been for a decade, and at work, and he had made 20,000 failures. And of course, most of us know the story of Thomas Edison, that it took him 10,000 tries to, some say, create a storage battery, some say create an electric light bulb. Not exactly sure which is correct, but the point is 10,000 attempts, which means failure, 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 wrong, 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 wrong. And I realize that when I approach things and when I approach situations, if I'm willing to say to someone I'm talking to, you know, I really don't know exactly how I'm going to do this. Let me give you a very good example. This Develop Your Potential 2021 event that's going to be coming up, which is 2 days of just life-changing information from some of the greatest thought leaders alive today. When I started collaborating with Achieve Today Coaching about this idea, I was thinking about how I had never done something like this before. Now, I didn't know what technology we were going to use. I had been parts. I had actually contributed or spoken. I had spoken it more than a dozen speeches in the last year that were virtual, but someone else handled the platform technology, et cetera, et cetera. So I didn't know how to do that. I didn't know exactly what the look and the feel of it was going to be. I didn't know the event frame. I didn't know when it was going to begin. And as I sat down to talk to these people who I needed to be my collaborative partners, they began to ask me all these questions. And I said, I know those are very good questions, and I really don't know the answer to any of them. And rather than thinking, oh, what an idiot, we can't work with him, I closed by saying, and I do know this. This is the first thing we need. We need to lock down people who are going to present, influencers, thought leaders, inspiring, motivating, but people with rich content. We need to get a roster of people who are just going to be amazing and life-changing. I said, that's step one. And I said, once we figure out step one, then we'll, I guess, move on to step two. Now, my ego is like, you idiot, you should have had answers to all of these questions yet. But I gave myself permission to be, and this is the word for the day, wrong. Wrong. Beginning a sentence with, I may be wrong, and this is how I see it, is far more disarming than, you're wrong. Nobody likes to be wrong. And one of the things that I've discovered is it's amazing. One of the things that Dale Carnegie teaches, when you know you are right and you present yourself as non-threatening, like instead of I know I'm right, but present yourself as, you know, I may be wrong about this, but I'm wondering, da 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 da, and you present it very calm and very neutral. What the other person will often do is begin then to, because you have not been defensive, they will take a stronger look at your position and often defend it for you. I remember one time I was having a conversation with someone I was dating, and it was one of those things that we could have argued slightly, you know, about, you know. But I had been reading How to Win Friends and Influence People, and I decided to try it. And I said, you know, I may be wrong in this. I may be completely wrong. And I presented what it was. And she goes, well, no, you're not wrong. You're not wrong at all. And her energy was almost like, no, no, not at all. You're not wrong. And she explained why I was right. And I walked away, and my first thought was, man, I messed that up. I messed that up. I tried to use the I'm wrong thing, but she sounded, I mean, her energy got raised. But then it occurred to me, her energy got raised because she was defending me. She was taking an open look at what it was I said and integrating it and presenting it as the right thing. In other words, I had done it perfectly. And it was like, ding, 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 ding. Something went off in my mind. And that is that even when you say, you know, I may be wrong, and the person really starts to defend your position, says, ah, come on, you're not wrong. And this is not about being obsequious, by the way. And if you don't know what obsequious is, look it up. It means to be overly conciliatory. You know what? You're right. I'm wrong. I'm wrong. I'm wrong. No, It's, I may be wrong about this. I may be wrong. You know, I'm not sure about my own position on this. Can I talk it through? It's that lowering your energy, which is hard to do, and being willing to say, let's let go of what it is that I think is absolutely right. It's amazing to me. Sometimes my daughter and I will, because we work together, and she will be doing some research on a challenge and I'll be doing research on the same challenge. And what do you think happens? We will come back with two different solutions. And yet I've also discovered that the length of time we do to research to come up with those challenges impacts our attachment to our decision. Because we don't want to admit, well, I just wasted 36 hours, and you're right, what you came up with is. So we come in with some pride of ownership, which can become defensiveness, over what it is we came up with. Can we come in and go, I want the best, not my way? You know, that old prayer, thy way, not my way. Whatever is the best, the highest way, the best for everybody else. I want to invite you today to approach life with a willingness to be wrong. Maybe I'm doing this wrong. Maybe this isn't the best way to do this. Maybe there's another way to structure my day. Maybe there's another way to interact with this person. Maybe my way at work or at home is not necessarily the best way. But it's up to us to figure out the new way, along with other people. That's the wonderful thing about being collaborative, not getting attached to our way. Because often, and this is what I've discovered, this is like big news. I came up with it, but the way I like to think of it is 1 + 1 = 11, not 1 + 1 = 2. When you add the effort of two people, when you come together to collaborate, and you can't collaborate if you're defensive about your point of view, then you can take what is best from each person. That's what often happens, I find, is that Lee and I will be talking, my daughter and I will be talking, and it's like, okay, well, yes, and this and this. For example, we were talking yesterday about the platform to present Develop Your Potential 2021. And we've got an idea and it's just perfectly great. And I also said, I want a backup just in case anything happens. And the idea was one of our plans became the dominant plan. The other one became a backup. And we both felt like we were being celebrated and honored for the effort that we put forth. So today, let go. Be wrong. Be willing to be wrong. I'll close with this story. I told you that last week when I was in Phoenix, it was about time, a couple hours, but it was a couple hours before my speech, and I wanted to get my suit ironed. And I looked in the closet, and I didn't see an iron, and I didn't see an ironing board. So I called down and asked housekeeping to bring one up. I waited. An hour later, no ironing board. And I went and called again, and now, a decade or so before, 10, 20 years ago, I might have been irritated. Look, I called and asked for the ironing board. When's it coming up, et cetera, et cetera. Instead, I called up with a willingness to be wrong. And they said, have you checked again? Because it could be in this corner that I looked and there it was. What I'm trying to say is I'm wrong at least half the time. And it's only in being wrong that you learn. So we might as well give over our defensiveness to being wrong. Give it a try today.
No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high.